Let's stand together, if you would, just for the reading of God's Word. And we'll begin with reading one passage of Scripture here in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. After that, keep your Bible open and we will move to some other passages of Scripture to help convey the story here this morning. Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, even unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to just teach us a truth this morning that can be used to help in our lives and in the lives of others. Spirit of God, may we put aside any distraction and focus and be yielded to you and listen to your Spirit trying to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to refer to Abram. In the entire sermon, really, I'm going to refer to him as Abraham. That's the name he's more well known by. At a certain time, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And so that's how I will refer to him. But here was Abraham, and here was Lot in the story that we read about. And Abraham was Lot's uncle. He was his uncle. And in the story we read, Abraham and Lot were divided, physically speaking, because of a time when they chose to go different directions. I just thought about it this week. We don't really know for sure what may have happened if Lot chose to go the other direction. I know that Abraham said, choose the left, choose the right. But Abraham was a wise and godly man. And I'm not sure if Abraham would have quite made some of the same mistake of getting as close to Sodom and Gomorrah as Lot ended up doing. And whether it was a test or not, I don't know. But certainly we know that Lot went a wrong direction in his life. And Lot's decision here to say, I will choose to take the plains, and he thought the well-watered plains were better. But in doing so, he ended up pitching his tent towards Sodom and began to look towards Sodom. And he ended up eventually leaving the fields and going in and moving into the city of Sodom, which was a very wicked and ungodly city. Some of you may not understand that, but Sodom and Gomorrah would later end up being destroyed by the Lord. It was a city of great wickedness, of great sinfulness and evil. It was a city of, that's where we get the term Sodomites from. And there was many things there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that were not pleasing the Lord. And Abraham and Lot here, they ended up being physically divided. Lot made a wrong choice and went a wrong direction in his life. And he left his godly uncle Abraham. And he got away from that good influence in his life. And though they were physically apart, I really think that Lot was still in Abraham's heart. I believe that Abraham thought of Lot often, and kept him in his heart, and kept him in his mind. And more than that, I'm sure that Abraham never stopped praying for Lot. You'd think, well, here was a time they were separated and maybe that was the end of it. Maybe that was the end of their relationship. No, not at all. Abraham still loved Lot very much. And I think Abraham still prayed for Lot very much. And we'll see that later. I think Abraham never stopped going before God in prayer to intercede for his nephew, Lot. Let me share with you some evidence that Abraham still loved Lot, even though physically they'd been separated. When the city of Sodom was overtaken and Lot was taken away as a prisoner of war, Abraham gathered together a group of men and risked his own life to rescue his nephew, Lot. You know what? If I was Abraham, I maybe would have thought, well, forget Lot. He made his choices. He went his direction. Too bad on him. He's a prisoner now. If he loses his life and loses his family, well, too bad on him. It'd be easy to think that way. But not Abraham. Abraham still loved Lot. And Abraham ends up going to his own expense and risking his own life to rescue Lot. Look over at Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 11. Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 11. The Bible says there, "And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way." Here was, in other words, the enemy kings that had come in and overthrew the city of Sodom. It says they took their victuals, went their way, and they took Lot, verse 12, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one person that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham risked his own life, spent his own money in trying to rescue his nephew Lot. Why? Because I think he still loved him. I think that even though there had been a physical separation between them and they'd gone different directions in their life, and Abraham was a wise enough and godly man that he could see and he knew Lot was making some wrong choices, he still loved him. He still loved a Lot in his life. But even after this, even after Abraham goes and tries to rescue Lot and brings him back, Lot still continued on in the same way. He continued on in the wrong place. He continued on going the wrong direction in his life. He remained in that place. He remained in that wicked city, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the while it was affecting his family. It was affecting his wife. It was affecting his children. And they were changing for the worse. The Bible shows us that. Lot's family was gradually forsaking the God of Abraham. But Abraham never stopped loving them. And Abraham never stopped praying for them. Even though his nephew Lot was going the wrong direction in his life, Abraham loved him and Abraham kept on praying for him. He never stopped standing before God for those that he loved. And that's the title of the message, Standing Before God for Others. Standing before God for others. Abraham was a friend of God. He spent time with God. He spent time in prayer. He spent time standing before God in prayer for others. Then notice what happened. There was a time when God became fed up with the sins of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God wanted to destroy that city. And God ends up revealing those plans to that godly man named Abraham. Look over to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18 and verse 16. Abraham was such a friend of God that God said, I think I will reveal to him my plans. I think I'm going to let him know before it happens what's going to happen in that city. And look what it says in Genesis 18 and verse number 16. Genesis 18, 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? the thing that he was preparing and getting ready to do. Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham knew what this meant. Abraham understood the severity of God's coming judgment. Abraham understood that God was fed up and he was going to destroy that city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what, Abraham became greatly concerned. Why? Because his nephew Lot was still living there. And his some of his relatives were living there, Lot's family. And Abraham loved his nephew Lot. Notice again what it said there at the end of verse 22. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You know what that expression means? Abraham stood before the Lord for God. There, God was speaking to him and sharing with him some things, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham was a man who we read in the Scriptures and find that every morning he would stand before the Lord in prayer. He'd spend time with his God. And Abraham was willing to stand before God on behalf of others. He stood in that place of prayer to intercede for his backslidden nephew, Lot. I want you to look on here and keep reading with me. Genesis 18 and verse 22. Beginning there, Genesis 18, 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? God looked at, or Abraham looked at the city of Sodom and said, God, I know you want to destroy it. It's a wicked city, but my nephew Lot is in that city. And I know my nephew Lot. Lot, he believes in you. And we might think in this story that, oh, Lot was just wicked and certainly he'd made some wrong choices and was going the wrong direction in his life. And if you read some things, that we won't read it all, but eventually he loses his daughters and loses his wife here because of this whole time of judgment that comes. But the Bible, even in the New Testament, still refers to him as just Lot. Lot was a just man, or a justified man. And God says, Abraham says to God when he's praying and he's trying to stand before God for the sake of others and intercede for others, he says, God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? If there's still some righteous in that city, if there's still some righteous in that place, then surely, God, you wouldn't destroy everyone. Verse 24, he says, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy the city and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? He says, Abraham says, God, if I can find 50 righteous men in the city, I know there's a lot of wicked people, but if I can just find 50 righteous men, then God, will you spare the city? Notice what he says, verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. You know what Abraham was doing? He was standing before God for the people of that city. Abraham was standing before God for his nephew Lot. Abraham was standing before God in prayer, trying to intercede. And God, if you'll just find a few righteous, will you spare your judgment? Go on and notice there, verse 27. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Referring to himself, peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous? Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 in 5, I will not destroy it. Abraham continues to stand before the Lord and says, but what if they're just lacking 5? What if there's still 45 righteous men there? God says, okay, if there's 45 righteous, I'll not bring judgment. I'll spare them, and I'll even spare the entire city. Then he says, verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will destroy it for 20's sake. We don't know whether this conversation really took place moment by moment by moment, or whether each time Abraham went and thought, well, I can think of him, and I don't know if Abraham began to search and think, well, maybe Lot will be able to find some others. I don't know. But he kept lowering the thing, and he kept on interceding, kept on hoping that God would be able to spare the judgment. He kept on interceding in prayer. Notice, go on to verse number 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham communed with God. Abraham spent time with God. Abraham spent time standing before God, trying to intercede for his nephew Lot, and trying to intercede even for a city, praying that God would not bring judgment upon it, that he would spare it for the sake of some righteous people in that city. Listen, he knew that his nephew Lot wasn't all that he was supposed to be at that time. He knew that Lot really wasn't, and his family wasn't living for God the way they should in that moment. But still, Abraham was standing before God and pleading with God, God, please don't bring a righteous. If I can find this many righteous men, will you please spare and hold off your judgment upon them? I want you to go to verse chapter 19 now and look with me. Chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and ye do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. Listen. Lot had got to the place where his morals were so corrupted and his mind was so influenced by the wickedness that now when these lewd men and homosexual men wanted to come and do things to take the men that they thought they'd seen come into Abraham's house, Abraham said, no, there's no men here, nothing, you just leave us alone. But then finally he comes back again and says, I have two daughters, I have two virgin daughters, and you can go and take them, and you can do whatever you want to do to them tonight. You go ahead and take them. What a messed up man that as a father he'd say, you go ahead and take my children and take my daughters, and you can do whatever you want to them. Lot was obviously not right with God in this time. He was not going the right direction in his life. He wasn't thinking right anymore. He was not living for God like he should have. Notice there what it says in verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. You understand that these two men, as it refers to them, were two angels sent from God that appeared as men, and they came from God, trying to come to Lot that night and say, Lot, it's time to go, it's time to leave. God is going to bring down His judgment upon this city, and you're going to be allowed to escape. I want you to come. I want you to get your daughters now. I want you to get your sons-in-law. I want you to get your wife. And it's time. We're going to bring you out of the city before God rains down His judgment upon the city. Verse 14 says, and the Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married the daughters, his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. How crazy now. His sons-in-law, they don't want to even listen to him. Lot, who should have known God, Lot, who should have been somebody who could have had influence in their life, they didn't want to even listen to him anymore. Verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. Remember that. And the Lord being merciful unto him. Lot wasn't living like he should. Lot wasn't living as a spiritual, godly man in those days. And the Lord being merciful unto him was the only reason he wouldn't be taken down with the judgment the same as the rest of the city. The Lord was merciful. They brought them forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay down all the plains. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Can I tell you something? The only reason Lot's life was spared was because of the prayers of a faithful and godly uncle. I believe with all my heart that the only reason why God sent those angels to come and bring Lot and bring his family out of there was because of the prayers of a faithful and godly and righteous uncle named Abraham. Lot was not living for God. Lot was living, and his family had begun to live a wicked life there in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were backslidden. They were not living like they ought to live. But because Abraham stood before the Lord, because Abraham stood in prayer before God and tried to intercede for the city and even tried to intercede for that nephew Lot, God was willing to show mercy and to spare him and to help him. Notice the scriptures, and again, we'll see that very clearly. Look at chapter 19. Look down to verse 24. Chapter 19 and verse 24. It says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. Remember, the angel said, don't look back. But she did, and she became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. Verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And Abraham had a place where he'd go to every morning, and he'd stand before God in prayer. He'd stand before God in prayer for others. He would intercede in prayer for his family. He'd intercede in prayer even for a backslidden nephew named Lot. He'd intercede in prayer, I'm sure, for his servants and for his wife and for his children and for his family and maybe for others that he knew. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham walked with God. Abraham spent time in prayer. God was going to remember the prayers of that righteous Abraham. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Verse 28. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that, notice this, God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. God remembered Abraham. God didn't remember Lot there in Sodom and Gomorrah. God remembered Abraham. Do you understand that? The only reason Lot escaped, the only reason God showed mercy, the only reason Lot was saved and protected in a sinful and wicked and ungodly place was because of a faithful, godly, righteous man who prayed for him. That Uncle Abraham would stand before God every morning and he would plead for those around him. He would plead for the life of his nephew Lot. He knew that Lot was backslidden. He knew that Lot had gone the wrong direction in his life. But he prayed and begged God, God, please protect him. I know he's in a dangerous place now. I know he's in a bad place. I know he's not living for you. Would you please protect him and spare his life? Listen, Lot did not really deserve all the mercy that God showed him. But God remembered Abraham and God remembered the prayers of Abraham. And because of that, Lot was spared. God remembered the prayers of a righteous Abraham. God heard the prayers of a faithful Abraham. And Lot was spared judgment in his life because of a godly uncle named Abraham who stood before the Lord. The message is very simple. Has there maybe been times in your life when the prayers of others have preserved you? Maybe for some of you, you'd say definitely not that you know of. But some of you would maybe look and say, well, I know that there was the prayers of a godly mom. I know that there was the prayers of maybe some godly parents. I know that maybe there was the prayers of the pastor that was praying for me when I was going the wrong direction. Some of you, maybe the reason why you're even still sitting here today is because there were some people that were praying for you in a time in your life when maybe you were somewhat like Lot in your life. Maybe you weren't living for God like you should have been, but God heard the prayers and God remembered the prayers of maybe some faithful, godly parents or maybe the prayers of a pastor, and God protected you and maybe kept you from going in places that could have just wrecked and ruined your life forever. Some of you, the only reason why you might sit in church this morning, you would have, if you had your choice, have gone totally away from God and forsaken Him forever. If not for some people that maybe prayed for you, that you would come back, that God would protect you, that God would show you mercy when you did not deserve mercy. Are there times when maybe my mom prayed for me when I was, as a teenager, for a short period of my life, maybe just a little stubborn and rebellious? Did maybe her prayers help me to come back to God in my life and be able to live for the Lord? Are there times where maybe some grandparents or parents or a pastor or some Sunday school teacher that you had when you were a kid, is there somebody that maybe prayed for you? And that's the reason why God brought you through and God protected you and God spared you. Maybe there's been times in your life when the prayers of others have preserved you. You know what? There's going to be times where you now need to learn to stand before God in prayer for others. Don't be too quick to write others off. You know what? You know someone who's unsaved, we can just think, oh, they'll never get saved, and we begin to not care about them. They might think, oh, we've got a neighbor that's just so hard. They wouldn't ever want to listen to the gospel. They wouldn't want to know about our God. They don't care about the Bible. They wouldn't want to know about Jesus Christ. But it may be for that neighbor who seems hard and stubborn to it all and doesn't want to know about God and doesn't want to know what the Bible says. They may need a faithful, godly neighbor who will stand before God in prayer for them so that they will one day come to Jesus Christ in their life and get saved. They need somebody to stand before God in prayer for them. What about that neighbor who does not know Jesus Christ? What about some of your relatives that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? They need godly, righteous you to pray for them. that God would bring them to the truth, that they would one day be saved. Listen, there are some people that need you to stand before God in prayer for them. Maybe some unsaved people. It may be some saved people. Are there some that you would know that, yes, they're saved. Yes, they're just like just Lot. They're saved. They believed in God. Maybe you know someone that they were born again and you believe that they were born again and saved, but maybe in their life they're not living for God today like they should be. Do you know some other Christians perhaps that have gone away from the Lord in their life and they're not living for God today, and maybe they're in a place where it's dangerous for them? Because may I tell you, sin is always dangerous. And sin always has its consequences. And going down the wrong path away from the Lord always has its consequences in life. And there's maybe some people that you know that are gone the wrong direction. Maybe they're backslidden. Maybe they've rebelled against God in their life. And they need you to be a godly one, a faithful one, a righteous one that would stand before God in prayer for them. That God would show mercy in their life. That God would maybe spare them or protect them, that they would not be taken down in iniquity and sin and rebellion. There are others that need you to pray for them. There are others that need you to still love them the way that Abraham continued to love Lot. There are others that need you to still be serving the Lord faithfully so that when they are ready to come back, they know that you'll still be there. I'm glad in the story of the prodigal son that he knew he could come back home and mom and dad would still be there. Mom and dad would still be there. He'd gone away. He hadn't spent time with them. He'd gotten away from them and he had rebelled against them, the prodigal son. But at a time when he finally came to his senses and wanted to come back to his father was still there. And you know the story in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says when the prodigal son did begin to come home, listen, daddy was on the porch and he was looking down the road and he saw the figure. I think I know that walk right there. And he recognized it, maybe off in the sunset a little bit or whatever it was. And thought, that's my boy. And the Bible actually says he ran to him. He ran to his son to welcome him back. Listen, that never would have happened if not for mom and dad still standing in the same place and being faithful. There may be some people in your life that need you to stay faithful to the Lord and stay true to the Lord so that when they're ready to come back to God, they know where to find you and they know where to get help. You stand fast and you stay faithful to the Lord. You keep on loving those that have gone astray. You keep serving the Lord faithfully even when others you love have gone astray. And you keep praying for them. You keep praying for them. You need to stand before God for others. Maybe a backslidden Christian. Maybe a child. Maybe you have children you're concerned about. Maybe you have a child that you're concerned about because we care about what's maybe gone on in their life. And maybe you're concerned about their spirits or their attitude and you just don't think their attitude's right. Maybe you're concerned about the direction they've taken and some of the choices that they've made and you think they're in a dangerous place and they don't even know how dangerous it is. So some of you today that is so true and so real in your life. They need you. They need you to stand before God. They need you to get up every morning and spend time with Him. They need you to pray for them. You may know a child. You may know someone that they've gone the wrong direction, maybe like Lot did. And there's great danger for them. And there could be great judgment for them if they continue in a wrong place or if they stay in a wrong place. We can become worried sometimes of what might happen to people or who might take advantage of them or what the influences of sin might do to them or what the temptations of the world or Satan might allure them to or cause them to go away from God. You stand before God for others. Stand before God in prayer. For others. that God would have mercy on them, that God would protect them, that God would preserve them, that God would keep them from doing something that could just wreck and ruin their life. Will you be a godly, righteous man like Abraham? Will you be a faithful, godly Christian like Abraham? And will you intercede in prayer for some others? Some of you ought to look back on your life and be honest and say, boy, I know that someone prayed for me. I know that someone was praying for me. And maybe there was a pastor praying for me. Maybe there was parents praying for me. But someone helped to preserve me. Someone helped. Listen, Lot had no reason for having God's mercy. The only reason he had God's mercy was because of Abraham. God remembered Abraham. God heard Abraham's prayers. God took care of Lot because of a righteous Abraham. You remember some in your life that have prayed for you, loved you, tried to show concern for you, when maybe you went the wrong direction in your life. In the same way, can I encourage you to show that same love and care? Be willing to offer the same prayers for some in your life. For maybe some unsaved people around you, neighbors, relatives, people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And will you stand before God in prayer for them? And maybe it's one that you're concerned about their direction. Stand before God in prayer for them. Don't stop loving them. Pray for them. Keep on serving the Lord faithfully so that they, when God shows mercy and God brings them, that they'll know they'll find you and you'll be the same. Can you get up like Abraham and stand before God for some others in your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you please to convict us and challenge us.